How did you happen to get in here?
I ran here. You scared the daylights out of me last night.
Seems like the truth shouldn't scare anybody, man or boy.
Thing getting you?
No. I'm just thinking about public reaction to all this.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Dragon King Dark, episode number 326. Thank you very much for joining me here. Dragon King Dark is produced and distributed by whenitwascool.com. You may be hearing this at figure4online.com, wrestlingobserver.com, darkmatterdigitalnetwork.com, iTunes, Apple Podcast, Spotify, you name it, but it is distributed originally from my website, whenitwascool.com. Hope you'll check it out. We talk about pop culture, retro pop culture, and more. And you've dropped into a series called 100 of the Darkest Moments in Pop Culture History. Now, don't fret. These aren't ranked in any order. You don't have to go back and listen to the whole series, but I do hope you'll go back and sample some of the shows we have had, and you may find some very interesting analysis on some of the darkest moments of pop culture history. Now, obviously, many of these have been tragedies. They've been things that have happened: deaths, accidents, terrorist attacks, things of that nature. Very, very dark indeed, where people have lost their lives. Others have been scandals. And we've talked about a number of scandals in sports and things of that nature. And some of them just really spoke about the darkness of pop culture in general and how popular culture maybe had took a poor turn with a specific, you know, genre or show. Recently we talked about Honey Boo Boo, and I got tons of reaction to that. Every single one of them, 100%. Said, you're absolutely right. That was a dark moment in pop culture history. That show was terrible. The things it said about us was terrible. The things it said about the entertainment industry was dark and terrible. Certainly belongs on the list. Well, today's is not as offensive as Honey Boo Boo, but it doesn't necessarily involve a tragedy, so to speak, although one of the lead actors in an upcoming movie is very much in trouble with the law at this point in time. But I want to talk about something that is, is a foundation of pop culture as we discuss it over at When It Was Cool, and that is comic books and comic book characters. You know, comic books were very important parts of popular culture and society all the way from the late 1930s, I would say, all the way through the mid-1990s. There was a speculator crash in the comic book industry, driven in part by the death of Superman. We've already done a show about that in this series, if you want to go and grab that and check it out. Nowadays, most people know these intellectual properties that were previously comic book or still are comic book characters. They know them largely from the movies, and especially with Marvel. Marvel has done a tremendous job in bringing their intellectual properties to the big screen. Marvel now, as a part of Disney, has a distribution outlet through Disney Plus. Their movies are still largely very successful, and they're fun. For the most part, there's you'd be hard-pressed to find a real bad one amongst the whole lineup. Now, it wasn't always that way for Marvel. Marvel struggled for many years getting anything of quality on TV and in the movies. There are a few exceptions. Of course, the Incredible Hulk series back in the 1970s, which we've reviewed before at whenitwascool.com. But for the most part, you think about stuff like Captain America. There were several attempts to do that property that was not so well received. The Punisher had a few goes at it. The Fantastic Four have had a few goes at it, and never really clicked until what we now know as the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Well, Marvel has a competitor and has had a competitor since the 1940s called DC Comics. And their intellectual properties are heroes and villains that you would definitely know. They're definitely all over popular culture and have been for decades. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Captain Marvel. Got all kinds of very recognizable properties. And over the years, Warner Brothers, or DC, I should say, which is now under the umbrella of Warner Brothers, so they too have a distribution outlet, right? They have HBO Max. So they would seem to be on fairly even footing. In fact, there have been decades where DC was the leading comic book company out there. Marvel, for most of the modern history, has overtaken DC Comics. But DC has some very important characters, predating even Marvel. Marvel was playing catch-up from the beginning. What would later become DC Comics had already put out Superman and Batman and was already well on their way to establishing those characters. They were having serialized movies back in the 1940s, numerous successful TV shows. You think about The Adventures of Superman, the 1966 Batman series, the 1989 through the 1990s Batman movies, the 1970s Superman movies. They were doing very well until they weren't, until they fumbled the ball. And as part of the 100 darkest moments in pop culture history, I'm going to make the case for the modern handling of the DC comic book characters as handled by Warner Brothers. This has been nothing short of an unqualified disaster. These characters, many of which are nowhere near the level of popularity they once were, many have lost their standing in popular culture, and some people would argue, well, you know, the stories have been told about these characters and whatever, yet Marvel has no real problem. They rotate characters in. If a character starts getting cold, they rotate in somebody new and keep things fresh. The Avengers lineup has changed many times over the years. And, the same thing for Justice League over at DC. Superman should be timeless, yet Superman hasn't really been relatively popular in culture in quite a while. Batman, well, there was a new Batman movie recently, and it was actually pretty good, but it's nothing near the level it once was. None of these are. And Warner Brothers is largely responsible for doing that. They fumbled the ball almost right out of the gate. So it's so complicated that you can't even really – it's hard to tell the story because there's a couple different continuities now. Like, they can't even get their continuity straight with these movies. There's the Zack Snyder version of things with the Justice League. Then there's the original one. There are, different people playing Batman. Looks like there's going to be different people playing The Flash, the actor who's presently playing The Flash, played The Flash in Justice League and has their own movie coming out. Next year, he has some real problems. And I guess we should talk about that right now. Ezra Miller, the 29-year-old actor who really was one of the better characters in this whole thing. And that's unfortunate. As dire and dark and disappointing as the various members of the Justice League have been in this series, really the Flash stands out as at least somewhat of a brighter light in this world of darkness, as does Wonder Woman as well. But now that is, gone off the rails, so to speak. So where do we begin? Well, let's just get that out of the way. Ezra Miller, as a matter of fact, may or may not even still be on the run right now. I haven't really caught up on the latest on his deal. But in March of 2022, Ezra Miller was arrested in Hawaii following an alleged physical altercation with patrons after having hurled obscenities at clients at a karaoke bar and was charged with disorderly conduct and harassment. On April 19, 2022, Ezra Miller was again taken into custody for second-degree assault by Leilani State Subdivision Police Authorities in Hawaii for allegedly throwing a chair which hit a 26-year-old woman and left a half-inch cut on her forehead after being told to leave during a private get-together. Ezra Miller had been arrested 20 minutes after the attack during a traffic stop at the intersection of Highway 130 and Kakula Street in Hawaii. Just hours after this second arrest, within weeks, Ezra Miller pleaded no contest to the karaoke incident and was fined $500 for disorderly conduct. But wait, it's going to get more significant here. In June 2022, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Court issued a temporary order of protection against Ezra Miller on behalf of 18-year-old activist Takota Iron Eyes. Chase Iron Eyes and Sarah Jumping Eagle, Takota's parents, requested the court order due to Ezra Miller allegedly using violence, intimidation, threat of violence, fear, paranoia, delusion, and drugs to hold sway over their child. The relationship between Miller and Takota Iron Eyes, which began in 2016, get ready for it, when Miller was 23 and Iron Eyes was 12. This also included Iron Eyes flying to London in 2017 to visit Miller on the set of Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Iron Eyes also dropped out of school in 2021, allegedly to follow Miller. Iron Eyes' parents also alleged in their documents that Miller had caused bruises on their child's body, and that Miller had manipulated their child to believe they are transgender. Takota later responded by denying their parents' allegation. As of June 10, 2022, law enforcement has been unable to locate Ezra Miller to serve him with the order. Miller then posted messages on their Instagram account mocking the court's attempts to find them, but has since deleted them. On June 16, 2022, a mother and her 12-year-old child were granted a temporary harassment prevention order against Ezra Miller after the latter allegedly threatened the woman's family and showed inappropriate behavior towards the child. According to the mother and child, Miller, who was originally visiting a neighbor, showed up to the family's house unexpectedly while wearing a bulletproof vest and brandishing a gun before pestering the child by uncomfortably touching their hips. So, let's get that out of the way, right? That's, I can't even deal with that. Let's go back to the movies themselves, okay? And we'll leave Ezra Miller as far out of this as we can. Although, hey, good casting job there, Warner Brothers. Anyway, things started off with a Man of Steel. June 14, 2013, Zack Snyder comes along, and we've got us a new Superman movie. This is going to be the Superman through which we're going to be building around in this new DC EU, as they call it, which is their version, the films of DC Comics inside this connected, supposedly in continuity set of films. And they picked to play Superman, somebody who I think was a pretty good choice, quite frankly, Henry Cavill. Although he's had a tenuous relationship with them. Still, it wasn't bad casting at all, but the movie was dark. The movie was long. The movie was a little more violent than you would expect. Superman does, in fact, kill someone, apparently, in the movie. That was too much controversy. And I rewatched Man of Steel not all that long ago to review it for whenitwascool.com, and I found it not as bad as I remembered. Like, it held up a little better in hindsight, but I think that's largely because so much of what came after was so terrible. Enter the next film in the series. Yes, a couple years later, in March of 2016, we get my most hated movie of all times. I have skewered this movie numerous times on audio. If you want to hear my standalone review of this, please go check it out, because I hear it is one of the most venomous reviews I've ever done. Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, or as I like to call it, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Sadness, because this is a sad sack movie, dark and dire, no joy, hopeless movie. I sat at the theater to watch this. My goodness, it's Batman versus Superman. It's the thing we knew at the time was going to lead ultimately to the Justice League. I could not wait to see it in the theater. I was utterly exhausted and bored by the time this movie ended. I saw children who, you know, when I was a kid in the 1970s going to see Christopher Reeve's Superman, that was incredible. I mean, it was awesome. Kids talked about that forever at school. I remember watching the Batman TV show in reruns. So, gosh, you had to get to the television every afternoon to see what was happening. Watch Super Friends in the morning. Kids were literally turned around, sitting in the floor, you know, playing cars with their popcorn boxes because this movie was abysmally terrible. Just an awful, just a god-awful treatment of these characters. And we end up getting a Batman that doesn't stick around. Just absolutely just terrible. This thing is off the rails within two movies. Suicide Squad comes along, and it's tangentially related to this. It's not any of the big A-list players there that would be make up, you know, the Justice League or whatever. We introduce Harley Quinn in this world, and Suicide Squad largely got better reviews than most. It came out in August of the same year as Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice did. And so, yes, it couldn't possibly look worse compared to that. The hope was that things would get back on track the following year in June of 2017 when Wonder Woman is released. And again, I think the casting of Wonder Woman was very good. It stands out better than most. In this, Gal Gadot was cast as Wonder Woman, and she's a breath of fresh air in all of these movies, not sucking the life out of everything she, you know, every scene she appears in. This is just, she is at least tolerable. But the problem is this movie wasn't that good. It got the reputation of being good. There were now at this point four, between 2013 and 2017, there were four Warner Brothers DC movies. And everybody said back at the time, oh, Wonder Woman's the best of these movies. And that's very low praise, very low praise. This movie did not stand up. The villain in it was absolutely terrible. This movie was excruciatingly boring. It's just that it had at least decent casting and wasn't as horrible as the other movies in this franchise. But boy, do we not know what was going to happen next. In November 2017, we get Justice League, and it was marred by Zack Snyder dropping out. Josh Whedon comes in, and this movie is just inexplicable. It's slow, it's meandering, it's boring, it's lifeless. The villain in it is superbly underwhelming. So much to the point that a movement begins, a grassroots movement begins to, let's get Zack Snyder's version of this on screen. He apparently had shot a considerable amount of this movie prior to him leaving. I think it was due to a personal situation involving his family, if I remember correct. But this grassroots movement was basically Justice League was so terrible. Let's see if we can get what hit the cutting room floor, maybe put something watchable together. And in fairness, Zack Snyder's Justice League was more watchable, certainly more memorable than the original Justice League, a movie that I, honest to goodness, have not heard anybody talk about since Zack Snyder's Justice League came out. I've heard nobody talk about the original Justice League movie. Is that in continuity? Is it not? Who knows? Who cares? The movie was absolutely abysmal. Who would have thought in 2017 that with these iconic characters like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and a wealth of others to choose from if you wanted to, The Flash, obviously, as we talked about, you could do so terribly with that. Yet they did. A year later, Aquaman came out, and again, Aquaman, the casting, I guess, was pretty okay with it. Jason Momoa certainly, I guess, looked the role of Aquaman. And again, we heard this many times in many reviews, Aquaman's the best movie of the whole bunch. At this point in time, we had 2, 4, 6 movies, and Aquaman and Wonder Woman are the best. Except that wasn't true either. Aquaman was, again, a super boring movie. Long as it could be, meandering, it just wasn't as terrible as the others. There is not a good movie in this whole first batch. From 2013 to 2018, there is not a single good Warner Brothers movie that stood up at the time, nor stands the test of time. Man of Steel, probably the best of the lot, and it has substantial problems. The next movie we get has one of my favorite characters, Captain Marvel, except they're not going to call him that now. We're going to call him Shazam, and I understand why. And it's a more of a comedy than anything. And I saw this at the theater. I thought, it's fine, as a movie, it's okay. I'm not sure this is the treatment I want for Shazam, but okay, I guess it is. And, hey, once again, hey, it's the best movie of the bunch, except once again it wasn't. Doesn't really hold up. It was fine for what it was, except it's not really a DC, universe movie. It's okay. I mean, it's a firm C, I guess, if you're going to give a letter grade to it. February of 2020, Birds of Prey. I've heard not a word about it. Nobody cared about that movie. We'll talk about a movie that died a death. Wonder Woman 1984 from 2020. I don't think I know a single person that saw that movie. I don't think I've read a single review that had anything interesting to say. Apparently, I've not saw this movie, in all fairness. But apparently, it was quite the underwhelming film. Then we get Zack Snyder's Justice League, which I guess is probably the best movie of this bunch. It was at least watchable. It was at least tolerable. It was certainly light years better than the 2017 Justice League. So it was fine-ish enough, I guess. And then last year we got The Suicide Squad, the second movie of that franchise. So It's utterly infuriating. These movies are absolutely just not good. And there's more to come. More to come. I love Black Adam. As I said, I'm a big Captain Marvel fan, and Black Adam is awesome. October this year, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson's going to play this. Look, if anybody can save us now, perhaps Dwayne Johnson can by playing Black Adam. We'll see. Then, but by the end of the year, we're going to get Shazam, Fury of the Gods, so Shazam's back. We're supposed to get Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom in 2023. The Flash movie, I thoroughly do not expect that movie to ever see the light of day. I'm just waiting, counting down until that movie gets canceled because Ezra Miller's situation's going on with, preteens. Good Lord. Blue Beetle, a character I couldn't care less about to begin with, also slated for August of 2023, is filming right now. What is going on here? How can they so badly have lost their way? How could they so badly have lost their way? When I come back, this is how convoluted it is. You want to read about this on Wikipedia? Yeah, you got to go through 2 different articles to do it because they can't even understand it. They have a article called DC Films. This article is about the production company for films based on DC Comics. See, list of films based on DC Comics publications, neither of which is the actual article, DC Extended Universe, which it is. We'll take a look at both of them. And look, if Wikipedia can't even figure this mess out, how do you expect me to? We'll be right back right after this.
WhenItWasCool.com is your source for the best in retro pop culture. When It Was Cool features articles and podcasts on retro TV and movies, toys, action figures, pro wrestling, food, video games, and more. Hit the Patreon button to support us and get instant access to hundreds of premium podcasts and features. Family friendly and fun. WhenItWasCool.com.
I'm so upset and annoyed. I completely lost my voice. This is literally the first thing I've recorded today, and I've lost my voice in this deal. We do a podcast almost every single day at When It Was Cool. We post something based on popular culture, retro pop culture, and certainly comic books, comic book movies, pulp magazines and stuff. And that's part of what we cover there at When It Was Cool. I love comic books. I grew up reading comic books. I learned to read from comic books. When I showed up to first grade back in the 1970s, I could already read while everybody else was, you know, reading C-Spot Run and all that. I already had a advanced vocabulary from reading comic books. I love this, watching Super Friends on Saturday morning, watching any of the comic book related stuff I could watch, playing with Mego action figures. It was an important part of my life and my pop culture experience. How this could be fumbled so badly, I have no idea. To try to make a little bit of sense out of this, and I'll go ahead and, spoiler alert, there is no way to. I go to the DC Films page on Wikipedia, and like I said before the break, there's actually two entirely separate articles about the film franchise for DC. Yeah, you tell me to. Anyway, so DC Films is an American film production company that is a subsidiary of Warner Brothers, owned by Warner Brothers Discovery, dedicated to the production of films based on the characters from DC Comics. Walter Hamada is the current president of DC Films, of course, founded by Jeff Johns and John Berg. Here it says history, so let's do it. I ain't scared. History, beginning of DC Films. All right. After the divisive reception of Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, I don't think it's divisive at all. I don't know anybody who loved that movie. The movie was terrible. Warner Brothers Picture made moves to stabilize the direction of DC Extended Universe. Spoiler alert, didn't work. The studio reorganized in May of 2016 to have genre-responsible film executives. Thus, DC Entertainment franchise films under Warner Brothers were placed under a newly created division, DC Films, created under Warner Brothers Executive Vice President John Berg and DC Comics Chief Content Officer Jeff Johns. This was done in hopes of competing more directly with Marvel Studios' Marvel Cinematic Universe. People that actually figured out how to do this. Johns also kept his existing role at DC Comics. However, the division's formation was not designed to override the director-driven mandate. Justice League had one of the biggest film budgets, nearly $300 million, but grossed about $96 million in its opening weekend. An analysis in the Washington Post expected that there would be a course correction again with a possible change in leadership. The DC Extended Universe operated under a director-driven mandate. Forbes contributors felt that the course correction would be for DC Films to give up on the shared universe while continuing with the Wonder Woman films and occasionally other films, as Warner Brothers has other franchises they can work with. Despite this, in December, the studio reiterated their current film slate for the unofficially titled DC Extended Universe. That same month, Warner Brothers announced that a new strategy and organization of DC Films would occur, with Berg leaving his position as studio's co-president of production to form a Warner Brothers-based production company with Roy Lee, the producer of The Lego Movie and It. In January of 2018, Warner Brothers executive Walter Hamada was appointed as a new president of DC Films to oversee the films in the DC Extended Universe. Amato has been closely associated with New Line Cinema and helped develop horror films such as It and the Conjuring film franchise series. In April of 2022, after the merger between Warner Media and Discovery Incorporated to form Warner Brothers Discovery, it was reported that new CEO David Zaslav was exploring a restructuring of DC Entertainment, including having a creative leader akin to Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige to lead its film and television projects. Let's hope so. In May of 2022, it was announced that Toby Emmerich would step down as the head of Warner Brothers Motion Picture Group and that the group will be restructured to give DC Films, Warner Brothers Pictures, and New Line Cinema and Warner Animation Group their own bespoke leadership. After Emmerich transitions from his previous role, former MGM executives Michael DeLucia and Pamela Abdi will become the co-executives of Warner Brothers Pictures and New Line Cinema, but will temporarily oversee the remaining units until their new positions are filled. Hamada is expected to report to Lucia and Abdi, although it was noted his future at DC Films remains unclear after restructuring. See, they still don't know what they're doing. They still have no idea. Their Flash is going around with children, avoiding the law. No idea. What a bunch of disorganized, just. So we'll switch over now to DC Extended Universe, which we heard referenced in that other article. The DC Extended Universe, or DCEU, is a media franchise and shared universe centered on a series of superhero films and television series produced by DC Films and distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures. It is based on the characters that appear in American comic books published by DC Comics. The DCEU also includes comic books, short films, novels, and video games. Much like the original DC Universe in comic books, the DCEU was established by crossing over common plot elements, settings, cast, and characters, although just not very well. Warner Brothers had plans to bring various DC Comics superheroes together in films since 2002, when Wolfgang Peterson was set to direct a crossover of Batman and Superman in a film franchise. After a planned Justice League film was put on hold in 2008, and initial universe plans were scrapped due to the critical and commercial disappointment of the 2011 film Green Lantern, Warner Brothers established this shared universe in 2003. Yeah, I mean, even all the way back then, they stubbed their toe right out of the gate before everything was even, you know, finalized with the failure of the Green Lantern movie. The DCEU began with the film Man of Steel in 2013. A reboot of the Superman film series, followed by Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, which served as a reboot of the Batman film series. These films were followed by Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, Justice League, Aquaman, Shazam, Birds of Prey, Wonder Woman 1984, The Suicide Squad, and future films include Black Adam, Shazam, Fury of the Gods, and Batgirl in 2022, and Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, The Flash, maybe, and Blue Beetle in 2023. The DCEU was expanded to include television series for the streaming service HBO Max in 2022, beginning with Peacemaker. The Flash will retroactively incorporate Tim Burton's films Batman 1989 and Batman Returns 1992 into DCEU's continuity via the plot elements of time travel in the multiverse, with Michael Keaton reprising his role as this version of the title character. Maybe. While critical and commercial reception has been mixed, mixed mostly to the downside, the DCEU is the 11th highest grossing film franchise of all time, having grossed over $5.8 billion at the global box office. Its highest grossing film, Aquaman, earned over $1.15 billion worldwide, became the highest-grossing DC Comics-based film to date. With these characters, that is not high praise. It's not, when literally Aquaman has been the butt of superhero jokes since, the 1960s probably, and that's the best they could do. That literally should tell you everything you know about how they have destroyed the popularity and the pop culture relevance of these characters. Their Batman does not even exist anymore. That new Batman movie had nothing to do with this. The best movie, probably involving a DC character they've ever done, Joker, not part of this, not in any way part of this at all. It's absolutely infuriating. Upon announcement of the film series, the universe was commonly called the DC Cinematic Universe by fans and media, in keeping with the naming convention already established for Marvel Cinematic Universe. Kevin Stachowicz, writing for Entertainment Weekly, jokingly coined the term DC Extended Universe in an article about Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice on July 1, 2015. The term and the abbreviation DCEU quickly spread among the press and fans, thinking of it as the official name of the franchise over the following years. According to Vulture writer Abraham Reisman, DC confirmed to him in September of 2017 that the term was not used internally and they did not consider it official. In 2016, as part of the DC Films Presents Dawn of the Justice League, both Geoff Johns and Kevin Smith referred to the franchise's name as being the Justice League Universe. Well, which one, though? You've literally got two Justice League movies because you can't get your crap straight. Anyway, to see, just flip through this article and see if they anything of any interest here about. There are a number of other films in development beyond the ones we've talked about, by the way, and I'm not even going to get into those because who knows if any of those will ever come to pass. Obviously, the big one out there right now is the Flash with Ezra Miller being very much in doubt at the current time. I mean, how can you? Go through with that. I mean, how can you? There's no upside for this. I mean, I'm definitely not a fan of cancel culture in any way, shape, or form. But how can you even release this movie? I don't even know how you could possibly even consider that. It's frightening. I mean, really. I guess he's still on the run. I don't even mean to laugh because this is absolutely, absolutely terrible. If you go to Quora, which is like an online question and answer where people can submit questions and stuff, and then people vote on it, there is actually somebody, as you can imagine, has asked this question. Why are the DCEU movies so bad? How come they didn't live up to the MCU movies? I think it's a valid question. Strangely enough, the top answer defends these movies. Listen to this. Listen to this. Diego Clark has watched every MCU and DCEU movie. All right. Diego Clark and I are going to disagree, but here's what he said. Here's the thing about DCEU movies. There aren't a lot. Well, there kind of is now. I don't know when this answer was posted, but there are. People forget that there are only 7 DCEU movies. How many of them are bad? About 2. Well, I disagree. He says Justice League and Suicide Squad are the 2 bad movies. Are the rest bad? No. Yes, they are. He says Man of Steel is a brilliant movie. Man of Steel is on the top tier of these movies. Batman vs. Superman was also really good. That was the one of the, here's the one guy. Hey, here's the one guy. You know, what is that? You know, 4 out of 5 dentists recommend you don't eat terrible stuff and ruin your teeth. Well, here's the one dentist that, you know, agrees, right? The theatrical cut was a mess. Oh, well, that's the point of it, right? Is to get the thing in a theater, like a movie in a theater, right? Wonder Woman was also really good. No, it wasn't. So was Aquaman. Nope. And Shazam. Eh. Justice League original cut will be released to cover up for the mess it made. So the thing is, DCEU movies aren't bad. There's just not a lot. Marvel Cinema. This is like very outdated. There's no way anybody could possibly agree with that. With any film series, you're obviously going to have your defenders out there, especially on social media and stuff. There's always going to be that one person who argues. Here's another. There's on Reddit. There's actually a thread here too. Can someone explain to me why DC movies suck so much? Takes no effort at all to criticize DC movies. They simply suck. Yep. Here is from the website StuSpec.com. I don't know anything. Oh, The Spectator. I have to admit, I kind of like this website layout here. This is a pretty clean, like a newspaper sort of layout. From 2018, there's an article here by Morris Raskin. The DC Cinematic Universe sucks and what to do about it. So see what this person thinks. Again, I give them thumbs up already because this website is easily readable and I really like the good, clean layout to it. If you were to tell someone 20 years ago that a movie pitting Batman against Superman would be outperformed in the box office by a film that pits two second-tier Marvel characters, Captain America and Iron Man, against each other, they wouldn't believe you. But it's true, and it shows just how much things have changed in the landscape of superhero movies. Before Iron Man in 2008 started a universe of interlocked stories and characters for Marvel, its movies were not so great, judging by quality and box office success. Yes, movies like the original Spider-Man trilogy weren't bad, but movies like Fantastic Four in 2005 and Ghost Rider in 2007 weren't critical or box office darlings. As a result, they were forced to sell most of their famous superheroes, like Spider-Man and the X-Men, to other companies, left only with B-listers like Captain America. And it was a very different landscape back then. It absolutely was. The article continues, on the other hand, DC's The Dark Knight trilogy was a hit with moviegoers and critics alike. In fact, The Dark Knight in 2008 made over $1 billion at the global box office and was nominated for 8 Oscars. Yeah, like I said, things were really different not all that long ago. Clearly, DC had a head start over Marvel. As such, DC took advantage of their success in 2013 and started a project called the DC Extended Universe, or the DCEU, attempting to copy the success of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which had already pumped out critical and box office smashes such as The Avengers in 2012. The first DCEU movie to arrive, Man of Steel, in 2013, was met with indifferent critical reception. Aside from starring Henry Cavill as Superman, the film was simply mediocre and forgettable. Of course, this wasn't enough to stop DC, who went right ahead and made their next movie. This movie, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice in 2016, was truly terrible. Aw, man, after my own heart here. It lacked a compelling story, a coherent plot, actually entertaining humor, and even sensical dialogue. The movie's climax was solved after the two main characters realize their moms have the same name. Martha. And for a movie called Batman vs. Superman, there was surprisingly little Batman vs. Superman action. One thing they did have, though, was terrible special effects. A man can only handle so many villain creates a sky beam that will end the world climaxes before he gets tired. This is not to say Marvel did not have its misfires either. Thor: The Dark World in 2013 wasn't exactly a good movie, and Avengers: Age of Ultron in 2015 was a little all over the place, but overall its movies ranged from passable to very good. The next DCEU movie that came out was Suicide Squad in 2016, and it was really at this movie that I began to understand why the DC Universe was so terrible. The DC Universe was never subtle. It never tried to be. Exposition was shoved in at the strangest moments, and it was obvious they didn't put a lot of time into thinking about how to make their stories link up. For example, in Batman vs. Superman, there was one huge out-of-place plot point, an email containing a video clip of each of the Justice League members using their powers. It didn't make any sense in the context of the movie and was obviously just trying to rush an Avengers-style big team-up movie, which would come 1.5 years later. After Suicide Squad, things picked up for the DCEU, but only very briefly. Wonder Woman 2017 was a box office and a critical hit, but still got beaten out at the global box office by the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, a movie about a ragtag team of nobodies joining forces to save the galaxy. This might have come as a surprise to many people, as Wonder Woman was really the first good big-budget female-led superhero movie. This just drives the point that with good character development like the Guardians had, you can make people care about things they've never heard of. We cared about those characters, and it made us want to see them again. The general public knew Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, but the studio didn't give her very much character development in Batman vs. Superman, so we didn't care much about her. It might not come as a surprise that releasing Justice League in 2017 as the studio's next movie probably wasn't a great idea. We'd only met three of the characters so far, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, and only two, Wonder Woman and Superman, had gotten a solo movie. With the Avengers in 2012, all the main characters had solo films before the team-up. Eager to match the success of Marvel, DC rushed into it and gave us Justice League. Not only was this movie an unprecedented flop at the box office, but it also caused Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck to quit. This movie was the lowest-grossing DCEU movie of them all, and it had characters like The Flash, Cyborg, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and more. It wasn't exactly given that this movie should make so little money. So the DCEU seems somewhat hopeless as of now. The solution? Start over. It's pretty much too late for anyone to save the DCEU in its current state. Batman and Superman are gone, and it's going to be hard to make a Justice League 2 starring Cyborg and Green Arrow. If DC starts over, they can try again, starting with the basics, Superman and Batman, give us new perspectives instead of making every movie an origin story. Oh, good Lord, that's true. Start with four or five barely connected stories, and then bring them together for the Justice League. Make us care about your characters. Make us feel what they feel. Don't try to copy Marvel. Start your own thing. DCEU needs a change to happen soon. Our favorite comic book characters might be headed down a dark path. Well, they're not going to do that. That's the thing. But he is absolutely right about the problems inherent in plaguing. Warner Brothers, what crap? These were pop culturally important fictional characters. All the way back from 1939 to well into the 2000s, these characters were important. Every kid knows who Superman is. Every kid knows who Batman is. Every kid knows who Wonder Woman is. They probably now know who Aquaman is. At least there's that, I guess. And you can't even make a passable movie. And look, there's nothing I've read so far about the restructuring at DC that gives me any hope this is going to get any better. And you might want to round your Flash up. It appears he's got some issues going on. What a catastrophe. What an utter train wreck. What an utter disappointment. Shame on Warner Brothers. Shame, shame, shame on Warner Brothers. If I were Warner Brothers, honest to goodness, I'd try to sell this to somebody and maybe even Disney and just get out of this. I mean, it's been an absolute train wreck of disaster, just an absolute disaster. So I argue one of the 100 darkest moments in pop culture history is how Warner Brothers has managed to take these iconic intellectual properties and make some of the worst movies we've ever seen out of them, to the point that nobody really cares about these anymore. That last Batman movie, besides being excruciatingly long, was actually okay-ish, but it had nothing to do with this. It's not tied into this in any way. And quite frankly, after it was out, nobody's talked about it. I don't hear anybody talking about this new The Batman movie. Not a bit. I put out a review of it to crickets. Nobody cared. Nobody's interested in this. Most everybody I talked to watched it in, 3 or 4 different settings. the ones that went to the... I worked with a guy. He is a huge Batman fan. He even has a Batman tattoo. Kid you not. Huge Batman fan. So I'm like waiting for his review. So he comes in. He went and saw it in the theater. I at least had enough sense to wait till it come on HBO Plus, but he went and saw it in the theater. Comes into work the next day, and of course, you know, being that I run a retro pop culture website, I wanted to hear a review firsthand, and this is all I've ever heard him say about the movie. He was like, it's all right. Like, that's it. Like, that was it. I've never heard of him speak of it since. Does he own the DVD? Doubt it. Has he ever watched it again? Doubt it. Warner Brothers. Good grief. All right. So, we're going to wrap it up right there. We've still got a lot of stuff coming up ahead in this series. We're well over the halfway mark in it. And unfortunately, we're about to get back to some tragedies again in our upcoming list. We've got some real bad moments. So I guess cherish this one. Nobody's died yet. Although, you know, I guess the story of Ezra Miller being on the lam with children is pretty dark any way you look at it. But we're about to push on forward and get into some real true tragedies that are about to happen in our series here. So check it out if you want to listen to the entire series. Hope you'll come over to whenitwascool.com. Check those out. Hope you'll support us on Patreon. We have a very thriving, very exceptional Patreon community, and hope you'll become a part of that. And thank you very much for listening. I'll see you here again soon with another show.
If you liked what you heard, go to whenitwascool.com.
This is the sound of the 80s. Everybody's looking for it, and we've got it.
And hit that Patreon button.
If you'll excuse me, I need to go buy a new Cyndi Lauper CD and have myself a little cry.